Hello, everyone.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Crayon Itsy Way.
Welcome. So we have a fun guys today, but first we're going to start with the fact of the day. So the fact of the day is going to be based off on, obviously, if you've been seeing our posts and stuff like that all over social media, we have a guest speaker today to support Mental Health Awareness Month. So that is what the fact of today is going to be. So the one that I had looked into, I'm not sure if you knew about this, Craig, but you might. So many people do not seek for treatment for mental illnesses due to the associated stigma. Only 44% of adults with diagnosable mental illness receive treatment. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Is it because, like, people don't want to be on meds, you think?
I think it's more of, like, you know, people say, like, oh, if you have, like, a mental illness, like, you're weak or something like that, you know? Like, they don't want to be labeled as that.
Yeah, that's true. And it's so sad because, like, if you are having, like, mental health issues, you should definitely get help, whether it's just talking with a therapist, you know?
Yeah, and that's, like, kind of, like, the crazy part. It's, like, I've watched quite a few people, like on our, like, my own personal podcast that I watch. Like, some girls that I've listened to, like, one of them is a nurse, and she'll, like, talk about how, like, for a really long time she really had, like, really bad depression, anxiety, but she could never get herself, like, to seek help because she's a nurse and she felt like she couldn't because she's supposed to be the one helping others, but she shouldn't be receiving help,
right? You know? She doesn't want to look like she needs help, which is so sad. Like, if you have an issue or you feel like you need help, like, it's necessary to get it.
Right. And that's, like, I don't know. I just thought it was crazy. Like, only 44% of adults or people just really get treatment. And it's, so that just means, like, how many more of a percentage out there is not getting that treatment, you know? And there's, like, a lot of people that do have mental illnesses, you know, but don't try to receive any help from it.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody at least once in their life or a portion of their life or even a couple months, a year, have some sort of mental illness throughout their life, you know, like something, whether it's stress or depression or eating issues or, you know.
Yeah, it's, like, crazy. Like, people don't really understand, like, what exactly runs behind a mental health illness, like, issue. It's, like, it's not just, like, anxiety or depression, you know. There's so much other mental health issues out there that,
right,
that are big, you know, that aren't just anxiety and depression. There's so much more out there, which is exactly why we're having this guest speaker with us today, because she's going to touch all those bases with us. You know, her main focus today is stress, but she is going to get more into detail with that, you know.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Me too.
It's going to be so much fun, and it's so informative, you know, and I hope so many people listen to it, because sometimes you just need to hear that it's okay to feel like you need some help or some guidance, you know?
Exactly. So we're really excited to announce our very first guest speaker of our podcast, which is going to be amazing. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited to bring her in because I can't wait to hear about all of the information she has. I mean, I'll let her kind of get into and explain what she does and her background and stuff. So let's just go ahead and welcome Cynthia in here.
Yep, sounds good. We'll be waiting for her.
All right.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi. So we are just waiting for Itzel to hop on. So, oh, and there. Well, welcome, Cynthia, to the podcast. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you guys for inviting me. This is the first time I've ever done something like this, so I'm definitely honored. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course, it's going to be so much fun.
I was so excited to have you on here. Like, I was, like, telling the ladies, like, we should invite to our podcast and do something like this.
Yes, yeah. And I think she is the perfect first guest, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys.
So, I don't know, actually, Craig. I didn't tell Craig, but I don't know if you know that Cynthia is actually from my hometown. That's how I know her.
I did hear that. When I was working with Noemi, I had asked her how you guys knew her. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, we both did graduate together, and we went to school together. So, yeah, we do go a little ways back.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so can you tell us about yourself a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Cynthia. I currently am going to school for I'm going to get my bachelor's of science in psychology and communications. I'm 21, so I currently live in Utah, but I just moved here just a few months ago. I came actually from Nevada. So I've kind of had a little bit of a journey to get here, but that's kind of my life is a little bit of a jumble.
So why did you head out to Utah?
For school, definitely. I did everything I could pretty much online in Elko. And then when it was time for me to move and everything, it was because I needed to do like in-person classes that I couldn't do online anymore. So that was when I decided to just move over here.
Oh, because do you have to do clinicals and stuff like that out there?
Not for my bachelor's, but for my master's, I will have to. So it's easier. And the last couple classes that I had to take for my bachelor's, they're called capstone. So they're kind of like short internships. Oh. So, yeah, I had to be over here for them.
Oh, well, that's so fun.
What, drew you to psychology?
A lot of things, actually. Mental health has always been one of my favorites, but learning about the self, learning about why you do things, how you do things, why you think the way you do kind of thing, that kind of drew me in because, obviously everybody goes through things in their life and they want to figure out, the root of the problem or how to get past things. And I think it kind of took the initiative when I started going to school. And I just took a psychology class and I kind of fell in love with it. And now to this day, that I have more knowledge on the topic, and I'm not just a freshman, it's easier for me now to understand things. And I don't know, the subject itself just drew me in.
Right. I can agree with you because that's pretty much my major as well. So that's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, I was gonna say Cray is like going to school for all that stuff too. So
that's awesome. Yeah, it's a journey. It's something new and it's not something a lot of people actually go for. It's like the jobs and everything, they're kind of hard to find sometimes. They're hidden jobs and stuff. And it's not a prominent job either. So a lot of people don't actually go for it, but that didn't honestly stop me, and it's my favorite subject, honestly.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, even with me, courses for like for my nursing program, like, it's interesting how the brain works, So, I mean, I can just see why you guys were into wanting to learn. And I give tons of props for like people like you guys that actually want to go and learn more and help people, because like that's something that I could never really figure out. How would I help somebody, with that type of problem? All the problems there is. So, Cynthia, do you want to go ahead and, tell us a little bit about the subjects you had ready for us today?
Yeah, so in honor of this month, you guys know that it's Mental Health Awareness Month, the month of May. And so a lot of people are talking about mental health and things, precautions and ways to identify if somebody's suffering and ways to cope with stressful situations in our lives. And so I want to talk about stress. Stress is one of the biggest factors, one of the biggest roots in what causes mental health issues. And stress and overwhelm are so common and so normalized that a lot of people actually don't go get help just because it's so normal to be like, oh, I had a stressful day at work. And it's like, oh, sorry, that sucks. But in reality, stress is a bigger problem than just that. And a lot of people normalize it. And I think that's actually the root of the problem. There's like a huge chunk of the population who don't actually have like a diagnosable mental health issue or, like a problem or a disorder. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't still suffer from it. So that's why a lot of people don't actually get help for it. It stops them because sometimes people can think, if I go to see a counselor or a therapist for these minor stressful issues, it's like, what are people going to think of me? But in reality, that's what actually causes the bigger problems. So I feel that stress is a big topic that people should actually talk about and make known. Stress itself, it's not a mental health issue, but it's like a kind of like the process from a stressful situation, a stimulant. So like maybe you lost your job or you lost a loved one or something like that. That's a stressful situation that then causes mental health issues if it's not dealt with properly.
I didn't know that. I was like, that's crazy.
Right. Yeah, if you think about it, everything roots from somewhere, and stress is one of those things, you know. It's not necessarily the events that happen, but it's how we interpret them. You know, for example, like, let's say I get a B on a test, and I'm a straight-A student. I may be really, really disappointed in myself, but the girl next to me, she doesn't do very well in school, and she got a B, and she's absolutely happy. It just depends on pretty much people's perspectives and how you choose to interpret things and how you choose to cope with things.
So speaking on that, so one thing that I feel like happens with people is that they don't actually consider certain things stress. Like, they just think that they're upset for a certain amount of time and don't realize it's stress. Do you think that happens?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I mean kind of by it's normalized. People don't think that maybe having too much homework is stress because it's the norm, because it's normal for a college student or something like that. But in reality, it can affect you in ways that maybe you can't handle it, or maybe it's, you know, you have other things going on in your life, or even in other contexts like work or something like that, or school, work, maybe your home life, sometimes, you know, being a mom, even especially. So it's things like that that are really normalized. That's what kind of blinds people. And that's why people don't get help for it, because people don't realize that they're even going through it because it's not known.
Right. And, it's bottled up.
Yeah, and see, and I think that's, like, kind of true, though, because if you really think about it, like, how many times have you guys seen, like, on social media or, like, even on TikTok, you guys see, like, these nursing students that are, like, nursing school so stressful, like, it's so bad, and then they have, like, these little, like, photos of, like, me going through depression, me through that, but nobody ever in nursing school goes and seeks help, because if they do, I feel like they'll be labeled as, you're weak, you can't handle nursing school.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, I've seen those. I've seen those on a lot of different professions, but mainly nursing school. But yeah, I have seen those, and I feel like in that case, like, that's when you know that it's so normalized, when people start, you know, actually reenacting those videos and kind of being like, true, like, and start saying like, yep, that's me. Like, that's not the healthiest way to go about it, but that's also like what kind of normalizes it.
Wow, yeah, that's true. And then you never realize it, like, you are actually part of that, like, normalizing it, you know, because even with me just like doing my prereqs and stuff, I'm like, oh my god, that's me, you know, but I don't realize, like, oh well, that's still like not okay for you to be depressed because of school, you know, or to have anxiety because of an assignment.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I just feel like stress is one of those, the main thing, and learning how to control it and learning how to spot, like, those symptoms of stress and coping with it, that's very important, and that can lead to a happier life, a healthier life, and it can also stop the normalizing of certain events, certain things that happen in your life, so.
Well, that's what I think, because, you know, I've always been a busy person, and a couple years ago when I was, you know, pretty young, I was like, no, I'm not stressed. But once I realized it's okay to be stressed, I can now cope with it. And I know how to, you know, relax a little bit and, you know, get control over my life again, I guess.
Exactly.
So it's important to recognize that you are stressed, because it's okay to be stressed.
Yeah, and exactly. That's what I was going to say, is that the first step in coping with stress is recognizing that you have stress. If you can't recognize that there's an issue, there's no way for you to either help yourself or get help. It's the same thing with any kind of sickness or disorder or anything like that. If you don't recognize the issue, you can't go and get help or get better in any way, unless it's, you know, maybe a minor issue. But if it's something like mental health or even sickness, if you don't notice it, it goes untreated and it can even get worse.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that kind of brings me into, like, recognizing. So I have some symptoms that I can share with you guys that kind of go with it, like identifying physical symptoms as well as psychological symptoms, because they both play kind of hand in hand with each other. One, it's kind of like the one causes the other and the other causes the other. So it's kind of like a role play kind of thing. Let's see, some physical symptoms that you can recognize. Let's see, for instance, myself, I was really vulnerable to the cold and the flu. For a long time, I was pretty sick, and I didn't even realize it. I just went about my day. I worked a 9-to-5 job. I went to school full-time, worked full-time, too. And at the time, I lived by myself, and I didn't realize that, you know, this is stress. And I was always really, really sick, and it caused a lot of issues. And I had to, you know, it caused a lot of, for me, a lot of headaches, a lot of migraines, and a lot of congestion that I turned to. Like, for instance, I got my wisdom teeth removed and my tonsils removed all in, like, the same few weeks because I was going crazy. And then I realized, like, I think I'm just stressed. Oh. And so that's one way to identify. You know, if you see somebody under the weather or really sick all the time, or you notice that they're just not the same, or maybe just little things of health that maybe somebody started eating a little differently or something like that, that's also a symptom. And if you can identify it in yourself or even somebody else, it really helps. It really does.
Right.
It's crazy because, like, I think with, like, I don't know if Craig can, like, agree with me in this, but, like, just working, like, in a clinic setting, like, we have quite a few patients that walk in there saying, like, they're constantly sick, you know, but I never thought about, like, the, like, and they're, like, I'm sick and I don't know why, like, I'm always sick and nobody can figure out why, but, like, do we ever think about, like, well, what's going on at home? Like, are you under a lot of stress? Is there something dramatic happening in your life that could be causing your symptom?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And that's big too, because, you know, a lot of doctors are, you know, they're not counselors, so they don't think to ask, you know, or to be a therapist or to talk to their patients or anything. So sometimes too, like, doctors don't seem to acknowledge it, or they're not, you know, they're not trained to, it's not the first thing that crosses their mind. But that too, it's like, psychological symptoms, like stuff that happens at home or at work or at school, they cause a lot of physical symptoms that sometimes can't be identified by a doctor.
That's true.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I have another one. So this one might sound a little weird, but minor muscular twitches. So I'm just gonna tell you guys a story with this one, but I know somebody, I'm not gonna state their name or anything, but for a while, they were really stressed out, and they didn't realize that they were stressed out, but eventually, because of not properly coping with the stresses that they were encountering in their life, it turned into physical symptoms in the form of an eye twitch.
That's happened to me, too.
Yeah, and that's actually caused by stress. So I've also experienced it because I had it, but not so she had it in her skin right under her eye, and I had it in my eye.
Oh, what the
little sense. So yeah, I had like quick eye spasms, if that sounds accurate. I don't know what it's called now, like literal diagnosis, but it's caused from stress. When you don't know how to properly cope with something, or, you know, your stress just builds up over time, it can cause those things, even if it's not, you know, maybe your eye, maybe your lip twitches, or you have a finger twitch, or, you know, things like that, or your leg twitches a little bit. That is caused by stress.
Yeah, that you makes total what? Sense, because it's yeah. happened to me many times.
I've heard of that before, too, because, like, my eye, for, like, a really long time was twitching, And actually, my mom's like, it's because you're stressed. But, you know, with being Mexican, I'm sure, like, Cynthia can understand, too. Like, Mexican moms are always diagnosing you with something crazy. And you just think it's, like, a Mexican diagnosis. You know, like, okay, mom. But I noticed it just recently, like, with me, I was in Mexico this recent, like, just recently. I just got back. And with taking care of my mom and my aunt over in Mexico, and then just flying back on a plane, and I'm terrified of flights, then having to handle school, like my eye was just twitching like so bad, and it was just because of all the stress that I was under within that week.
That makes a lot of sense, because you know when things also like overlap, like maybe your stress might have been too much, because you know we all encounter stressful situations, maybe schoolwork or work, you know, stress that we go through kind of every day, that you know minor stress doesn't always cause, you know, automatically an eye twitch or something like that. But when it builds up, or it's too much, or too many, how do you say, like stimulants, too many environmental factors, they can affect it in that way where it turns into an eye twitch, a leg twitch, lip twitch, you know, things like that.
Well, and it's like when it's constant, like when you can't walk away from it or relax, like it's like when it's constant, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that too. When you don't also give yourself that moment of like, in that moment, not giving yourself that time to realize that you're going under stress, and not being able to, like you said, walk away and contain yourself, kind of gather your thoughts, that also causes it as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, and I just wanted to also go into, so these two kind of go hand in hand with each other because they both cause each other, high blood pressure and heart problems. So I also know somebody with this that was caused by stress. They're very young. For their age, they're very young, you know. And they handle a lot of stress. You know, they had two jobs. They were stressing a lot about money, a lot about bills, a lot about their home situation. And that caused them to have really high blood pressure. And it caused them a lot of health issues. And eventually, he had a stroke. And for his age, he's really young. And so the doctor pretty much told him, it's because you're stressed. And so those two play hand in hand. But for the most part, it's mostly high blood pressure, which causes the heart problems. So when you're really anxious or something like that, that causes that high blood pressure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And like a lot of people. Go ahead, Kai.
That's the thing, is like people who just like don't want to get any help or talk about their stress at all, like it causes more health problems. Like it can cause more, you know, it can make you really sick. You could even die from it. Yeah. It's so scary.
And
yeah.
That's like the thing too. It's like when you talk about like how stress can cause high blood pressure, it really does. Like so many patients are like come in and they're like, sorry, like it stresses me out to be in a clinic. It's like, and then you check their blood pressure and they're like 20 or even 15 and their blood pressure is skyrocketing. Like that's obvious reasons that they're just super stressed just being in here. And if for many people who don't know, I learned this from one of the providers that we work with, that high blood pressure is actually known as a silent killer, because it's, you would never ever know that you have high blood pressure because the symptoms to it is so like vague, it can kill you. And that's like why it's so important for people to start understanding when you're stressed, like it is a serious thing.
Well, yeah, I completely agree.
People really should be checking their blood pressure at home or things like that, just to make sure that their health is staying under control, especially if you have stress.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, that's it. That's, I would say that I would agree with you, Itzel, because high blood pressure is caused, you know, by a variety of different things, and stress is one of those. And if we can learn to control that, like, or cope with our stress, that's one less thing, you know, that people would have to worry about, that causes high blood pressure. So yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, damn. Coming from like the medical side and then learning it from like, you know, like the psychology side, like everything kind of connects in a way. And it's like true, like I even know somebody that's like super healthy and like super, like I tell you, like she's like probably the most healthiest person I know, and she has high blood pressure. And we could never understand, like, how could she have high blood pressure? You know, like, we're trying to think of everything medical-wise, like, why she could have blood pressure. But then I forget that she was going through, like, a very stressful time. And she still is super stressful. And that's why her blood pressure is always so high. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't understand that. She doesn't want to admit that she has, like, maybe too much stress in her life or has anxiety or something like that. She doesn't want to admit it. She just thinks it's something vague.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely, it's interesting to hear those kinds of stories. And it definitely interferes, like it definitely connects together. This mm-hmm. like psychology side and the medical side. The way we think and we feel also also interacts with our bodies, our physiological side. So I do see a lot of connection with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for and sure. Yeah.
And some psychological symptoms too, not just physical, but sometimes it's hard to spot psychological issues or psychological symptoms, which obviously you guys know anxiety and depression. Being anxious, is caused by stress, right? Being anxious in the way that you can spot, maybe somebody is, they can't stop moving, or they can't stop wiggling their leg, or they are playing with their fingertips or playing with their hair. You know, there's a lot of different ways to spot anxiety, and depression as well. Depression is a little bit harder to identify just because, you know, people, when they go out in public, they're not always, they it's kind of like that thing that, what do they say, where you put on a mask. So it's right. Kind of harder to spot depression, but anxiety is easier to spot, but not as easy. You can spot little things. Like, for instance, when I get anxious, when I have anxiety, I rub my fingertips on the seams of clothing. And I do it with anything that I wear, literally any kind of pants, any kind of shirt. I get the seams of it, like the edges of the shirt or the pants, and I just run my fingertips through them. And that's how I know I'm anxious. And, you know, there's different things for everybody. I know somebody who, when they're anxious, they lick their lips or they play with their earlobes. I know a lot of people who have a lot of different things. Do you guys know of any?
When I get anxious, I almost get dizzy, like I'm going to pass out.
Yeah, that too, being like really nauseous, really fatigued.
Yeah, nauseous. Just,
yeah.
So I do have to say, I have this one book. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Rewire Your Anxious Brain. Have you heard of that book?
I've heard of it, but I have not read it.
So it's like, you can even listen to it. Well, I think you're only supposed to listen to it. I don't know. Maybe they do have a book too. But it is a really great book because it explains to you why you get anxious and why things like that happen. So if anybody wants to listen to it or read it, it's Your Anxious Brain. It is really good because it helps you cope with it. It makes you understand why it happens and how to fix it. It's really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd have to look up into it because I love reading about this kind of stuff. I also have a book that I'll mention later on when I talk about it, but yeah, it's definitely interesting to read other people's stories and read why and how we feel these things.
Yeah
for sure. Like I knew a girl that, like, when she was anxious, like, she pulls her hair out and she
would, that's definitely something I've heard of too.
Yeah, like, she'll pull her hair out, like, little pieces of it, and she'll, like, put it in her mouth and just run it in her mouth. Or, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know, like, for me and Noemi, I know, like, our legs shake a lot. Like, we'll, like, shake our legs a lot when we're anxious. Oh, yeah, like,
your foot.
Yeah, like, but sometimes, but I've been better at trying to, like, cope with that. But, like, I know Noemi does that.
Yeah, I do. I think that's a pretty common one, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure do that, too.
Yeah, and like I was saying, like, in that way, it's easier to spot anxiety in that way than depression. Maybe if you live with somebody and you can maybe spot how they're acting and you know who they are and if they're acting different or, you know, mood swings, anything like that, it's maybe easier for you to spot depression in that case. But for me, at least, it's a little more difficult to spot depression unless somebody actually, how do you say, like, verbalizes it.
Like seeks or admits it to themselves, you know.
In that case, and you know, with these symptoms, if they don't go treated, if they go untreated for a very long time, or if you develop many symptoms at once, it can eventually turn into a long-term problem, and this is where mental disorders comes in. You know, there's mood, eating, personality, psychotic. With mood, you know, eventually you can develop bipolar disorder. If you can't control your emotions, if you just feel overwhelmed all the time, you know, one minute you're very, very happy, and then the next minute you're sad, crying, or you're angry, things like that. Or even eating disorders, in which those also, like anorexia, for instance, myself, when I get really anxious or really maybe scared, I binge eat. And it's something that I'm still working on myself. But then it's like later on, I feel nauseous, I feel terrible. But a lot of people experience that where either they eat a lot or they eat very little. They experience extreme weight gain or they experience extreme weight loss. And sometimes, you know, that can be rooted in, how do you say, like, stressful situations, I guess. Environmental factors. It's not always, like you guys said, something medical that can be diagnosed as, oh, she has this, or, you know, something like that. But it's necessarily not necessarily because of that. It's could be anything that comes from their environment.
Yeah, for sure. With me, I know I've come to these, like, things, like, with me personally, like, I know I have anxiety and stuff like that, but, like, I noticed more when I'm doing, during school time, a lot of people hear, oh, when they go to college, they gain weight, and they think it's because you're broke and you don't have to eat, like, microwave food and stuff like that, but it's not because of that. It's because college is stressful, you know? And you, when you're in college, all you do is eat. And like that with me, homework, or when I'm stressed about a test or something, I have to snack on something to keep my mind off of like how terrified I am about this exam.
Exactly. And I'm the same way. I, you know, the weight gain is definitely real. When I graduated high school, it was like, life wasn't that stressful, right? And I didn't used to binge eat, and I didn't need that many distractions in my life. And then I moved away, and I was by myself for a while. And that's when I started binge eating. I started splurging, and, you know, whatever I wanted is whatever I got. Obviously, I was still, you know, a college student. It was, like, on a budget. But really, those cheaper snacks are what actually get you. But that definitely makes sense, that college thing.
I never really thought about it that way too.
Yeah, and also another thing with mental disorders, personality. So I do know also a book. It's called A Fractured Mind. It's by Robert Oxman. I believe that's how you say his name. The book is pretty much about how he experienced a personality disorder. It's called dissociative identity disorder. It's a really good book. He describes his life in kind of like a third person kind of thing. The condition is pretty much, it's caused by stress. So it's caused by like severe trauma, abuse, physical, mental abuse. And you pretty much, your personality breaks when you cannot no longer cope with stressful situations. So for instance, I'll just give you an example. As he was a kid, he experienced a lot of abuse from his parents. And as a kid, he wasn't taught how to cope with anything because he didn't have any other family members. So eventually, his mind kind of broke off in that place. And after that, he struggled for the rest of his life since that first turn. So he struggled all the way up to when he was a teenager, an adult, and his personality just kind of broke off in different phases of his life. So he thought he, you know, in his mind, he broke off into a kid. And then eventually he would have a mood swing and he would act like a teenager. And then he would act like, in a, you know, maybe a grandpa because, you know, when he wrote this book, he was a little bit older. But it's really interesting to see that stressful situations caused his personality to break until he was able to see a therapist, to see a psychologist, is when certain parts of his mind started to mend back together. And I think it's just a really good book. You guys should definitely read it. I don't know if you can listen to it, but you can definitely buy it at any Barnes and Nobles or any kind of bookstore. Honestly, it's a little bit of an older book, but it's so good. It's one of the first books I read in college when I was pursuing my psychology degree at the beginning of my bachelor's degree. This is one of the books that I actually did a whole report on, and it was a really good book. So I definitely recommend.
Yeah, I'll have to definitely listen. That sounds like a really good book.
Yeah, it sounds pretty crazy, pretty interesting book to read. Like, I've seen, like, I've heard of that diagnosis when you just said, from, like, a YouTuber that he interviews people that have all these things. Like, I forgot his name. Anthony Padilla. Have you guys heard of him?
I have not.
No. He does interviews with people, like, with anything, really. Like, people that have anxiety, people even, like, who had COVID, or people, healthcare workers. And he had just recently did an interview with people who had that multiple personality disorder. And it was crazy to kind of hear how it all started for all of them.
Yeah, and if you guys have ever watched the movie Split, I know it was a popular movie there for a little bit. It was in theaters and everything. That movie is actually based on that disorder. It was called multiple personality disorder, but I think according to what I've studied and stuff, they said that the term was too straightforward, so they decided to call it dissociative identity disorder. But that movie is actually based on that disorder.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to watch. I think I've heard of that movie, but I haven't watched it yet, but I've been wanting to, so I'm gonna have to watch it now.
It's a good movie.
I think there's two parts to it. There's a Split, and then there's, I can't remember what the second movie is called, but it's like a sequel to it.
Yeah, that one, I've seen both of them, and they're both really good.
I'll have to probably Google the name of the other one, but I know the first one's called Split.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's just crazy because, you know, even I know people who this has happened to, so it's just crazy.
Yeah, and you know, that's what happens when you don't learn to deal properly with the stresses that you encounter in your life, and, you know, it can turn into long-term disorders like that, and that's hard to say. You know, it's, people actually go through this every single day, and, you know, if you can just get help or even just recognize that you're going through something, it can definitely prevent things like this in the future. And that kind of brings me into coping with stress. And let's see, coping with stress is not, obviously not as easy as it sounds. It's not as easy as saying just relax. It's not as easy as just saying, just relax, or take a breath, like, go walk it off. It's not as easy as people say, you know? And I hear that term a lot. I hear people say that a lot. You know, when you're having a stressful day, it's like, oh, here, let's go out to eat. Maybe you'll take your mind off. It's like, instead of helping people take their mind off of it, help them cope with it, kind of thing.
Yeah, so, like, when people always say, like, just take your mind off of it, like, yeah, sure, some people can take their mind off of it, but once they're done, you know, enjoying whatever, like a dinner, it goes right back into their mind, and they're stressed again, and it just takes over their life again.
Exactly.
Yeah, and coping with it is a lot better instead of, you know, just distracting yourself. I know that's is sometimes hard to distinguish, sometimes hard to do. Sometimes you need to distract yourself in order to cope with things, but to a certain extent, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say, like, for instance, mindfulness and meditation. In order to kind of get into that state, you do kind of have to forget about the world. You kind of have to relax and kind of clear your mind, pretty much. So it does, in a way, require you to push the problem aside. But then afterwards is when, you know, the real work goes in, when you try to evaluate what's happening and how to stop the situation or help the situation. So those are two coping mechanisms. Well, they kind of go together. Mindfulness is a form of meditation. You know, and meditation isn't literally sitting crisscross applesauce and, you know, forgetting about the world either. It can be different things that you like to do. Like, for instance, I think practicing your breathing, relaxing the mind and the body, even if that's by, let's say, you like to sit outside and kind of absorbing nature kind of thing. I like to do that a lot. Here in Utah, there's a lot of life, city life. So, you know, one of my favorite things to do is just sit outside and you literally just hear the world. And I do that a lot when I'm by myself. Even if you don't like nature, something you can also do is maybe like take a quiet bath, be by yourself and just clear your mind, but also think, you know, think about how and what causes your stress and how you can fix it kind of thing.
Right. So meditation to me is what I do is I control my breathing and then I focus on my body and I think about from my head to my toes and take full control of my body. And that's meditation for me, you know, breathing and taking control of your body. And then it helps the body relax.
Yeah, exactly. And it's different ways for everybody. A lot of people, for instance, like I've tried it with several different family members and sometimes it's just easier for them to relax in different ways. You know, maybe like the older people, I want to say, like my grandma, you know, for her, it's like, what are we doing? You know, like it's harder for her to relax and feel herself and help herself breathe. For her, it's more like, take me outside and water my garden, you know, kind of thing. It's different for everybody, but that's also a way to cope with stress, to exercise and be outdoors. I know a lot of people think that exercise literally means like go to the gym and lift weights. That's not always the case. A lot of people like to go to the gym and lift weights. You know, it's therapy. It literally is. I know lots of people who do it and it absolutely helps. But for those who are not, you know, that gym oriented, you know, it can help to do exercise in different ways. For instance, maybe you should go for a walk around the block. I know for me, my mailboxes are just around the block a little bit. So when I feel like I need to get out, when I feel a little bit stressed, a little bit trapped, I just say, okay, I'll be back. I'm going to go get the mail. And I walk around the block and just slowly too. And I go get the mail and I come back. You know, just that little walk right there, it helps me a lot and to gather my thoughts and everything. You can also try, if you have a dog, maybe taking the dog for a walk or taking the dog to a dog park. If you have kids, maybe take your kids to the park or take them somewhere, you know. But be outdoors too. That really helps a lot.
I know for a fact, like I know for me, like the gym for me is very relaxing, like just to be able to be there and get my mind off the things and focusing on like the type of muscle that I'm working on. And not thinking about the outside world and just kind of being with myself is relaxing. So, like, I love going to gym because it's not to get fit. It's to stay healthy, obviously, but it's not just physically, it's mentally. And I have a coach. And when one of the main questions she asked me is, why do you enjoy doing what you do, like going to the gym? And I told her, I was like, I don't think it's physical, it's for mental health. I noticed that when I don't go to the gym, my mental health is the same. Like I'm more, I have more anxiety, I have more depression, I have more mood swings if I miss too much of the gym. And even if I don't taking my dogs to the park or taking or going on a walk with my dogs or being outside and doing some type of physical activity helps me.
You know? Of course, yeah. And I give you props, Itzel, because it's really hard sometimes to have that, even have that motivation when you're already feeling stressed and you feel kind of slumped or something like that. You feel, you know, like you just don't want to do anything. It's hard to sometimes find that motivation to get up and do something. And I feel like that's where a lot of people say exercise is not for me. But really, like you said, it's for your mental health. It's not for your physical. But it does play hand in hand. When you feel better, when you look better, you feel better. When you feel better, you look better, right?
Exactly. So,
you know, that's one of the things that a lot of people misunderstand is that exercise is not literally going to the gym and lifting or squatting. You know, it's not necessarily that. It can be anything, like you said, hiking, even going for walks and everything. So I give you props because sometimes it's hard to get that motivation.
Exactly. And it takes time. Like, it took me years to come to the understanding of, like, am I going to the gym because I want to be, so because I want to have the body, or am I going because it's helping me mentally, you know? And then it's like, honestly, it's therapy. You have to work with your mind and get yourself to understand, like, this is for my own mental health. And once you start understanding that, and once you start looking at the bigger picture, you get that, like, okay, this is for my mental health. It's not just for my physical health. Reality, like, my mental health is so much better than it was when I went to the gym just for my physical health. You know, started to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good way to put it, too.
Yeah.
Also, with coping with stress, I do have a tendency myself. I do a lot of self-affirmations. So, you know, when I'm feeling blue, and for a good chunk of my college career, my college life, I lived by myself. And it was hard to, you know, stay happy and stay, you know, kind of alert and everything when I didn't have much interaction with anybody throughout the day. I worked a full-time job, went to school full-time, really didn't interact with a lot of people. And so sometimes I felt really depressed, really alone. And my emotions usually got the best of me. But a way that I coped with it a little bit is self-affirmations. I would take an Expo marker, and I used to have a big old mirror in my bathroom. And in this case, I would write on my mirror messages to myself. And, you know, sometimes you need to see that good job. Or you need to put on there, like, you look beautiful today, or try your best. You know, little self-affirmations, like, you got this. That also made me feel very good about myself. It made me want to push. And, you know, if it wasn't for that, for being creative with my coping mechanisms, I feel like I would be in a very different place today. But, yeah, I say, like, different affirmations like that, even if it's not writing on your mirror, maybe you put an alarm on your phone that reminds you you are good enough, or even writing in a journal, or, you know, maybe even some people find therapy in tattooing themselves. Some people also find therapy in drawing and writing, you know, and so that's different ways to help yourself as well, self-affirmations, and also rest. I know rest is a big old topic itself, because, you know, the younger generation is like team no sleep, how they say it.
Right.
Rest actually has a lot to do with your mental health. So I just want to give a little bit of an example. I know somebody in my life who, they always encountered a lot of stress. The environment they were in was very stressful. And they had a lot of, you know, symptoms of stress. You know, they were always kind of sick, always had headaches, tired, fatigue, mood swings. And eventually they kind of realized it, right? At this kind of environment where they were at, they never would sleep. They would sleep maybe like 4 to 5 hours a night. And for, you know, the age that they are, it's not very healthy. You know, for certain ages, there's like those degrees of sleep that you need, the hours, the amount of sleep that you need. I know for older people, it's like less, and for younger people, it's more. For the age that he is, he was sleeping way too little. And he had stress in the form of physical features, which was acne. When he didn't sleep good, he broke out a lot. And up until he got out of the stressful situation, he was able to cope with those things. He still couldn't figure out what was wrong because, you know, acne is acne. And sometimes acne can be itself stressful, right? Mm-hmm. Up until he started sleeping on a good routine and getting a good night's rest every single night, his skin started to clear up a lot. So rest is one of those big, big things that could help a lot of people. Not only feel good in the mornings when you wake up, because sometimes people, you know, even struggling to get up in the morning makes somebody feel, in my personal opinion, it makes me feel terrible. It makes you feel like, oh my gosh, I need coffee. I can't do this. Like, don't talk to me kind of thing. When I sleep more, I feel better. And I also notice it myself. When I sleep more, I sleep better. Not necessarily more, but I sleep better. My skin is clear. And that, I feel a lot of people, I've seen it in a lot of people where, you know, they don't rest good and they break out.
So speaking on sleep, you know, I always, like, when I work at the clinic, it's always like, it's morning. Like, why are you so happy already? Well, because to me, like, if I'm starting my day, like, trying to be happy, that's going to reflect the rest of my day, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, yeah. It's important to get good sleep. That way you can wake up feeling, like, in a decent mood, and then you can carry on the rest of your day.
And that's part of, like, how you have to kind of surround yourself like that, you know? Because, like, with me and Cray, like, me and her have just been friends for, like, amount of time now, and with her every time, like she said, like, I'll be like, dude, you're too jittery for me, like, just get away for a second. But then when she's kept telling me, like, oh, it's because, like, when you kind of have a good day, you, like, sleep well. Like, this girl falls asleep pretty early, like 8 or 9 or something like that. Well, and I started real, like,
about 10.
But it's okay. Earlier than that, whatever. But anyways, I've noticed that, like, okay, maybe I should take in for myself, you know. So now that I started noticing, okay, I fall asleep at 10 and I wake up in a good mood and I'm like, okay, like, this is gonna be a good day, then I've noticed that my day turns out to be better, you know. When you wake up in a better mood and you don't think like, oh, like, ugh, it's morning, you know, thinking like, oh, it's morning, I'm alive, let's enjoy the day, you know. And I learned that from her.
Yeah, and I've also learned that, and I had to learn that the hard way, in all honesty. I had to learn that the hard way because, you know, college, as you say, can get crazy, and it can get pretty stressful, and the amount of workloads, you know, you also have to work if you're, you know, kind of maintaining yourself and everything. You have to work, you have to go to school, and you still have to remember to do all the other things that you have personally to do, and it can be very easy to forget to sleep. It can be very easy to go to bed at 3 a.m. and then wake up at 7 a.m. to go to class or go to work. So I had to learn that the hard way until I got on a good sleeping schedule. Then I was starting to feel better, and I was starting to feel more like I could get more things done in the day. And my day feels longer and it feels better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that part for sure.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I just wanted to say was emotional expression as well. One of the more obvious, you know, talking to somebody, even if it's not talking to somebody, maybe just expressing yourself in general, maybe holding your personal journal or vlogging yourself. I know that helps some people when you actually record yourself or hear yourself talking. Not only just that, but reading, painting, writing, that also helps a lot. And it's important for you to be able to talk. And that's what therapy, and that's what counseling is allowing those who don't have the chance to, you know, every single day to express themselves. Sometimes that's all we need, is just somebody to listen and somebody to vent to. Sometimes it's just like, I'm a bomb right now, I need to explode and let you hear all my stories today, and then I'll feel better, you know. And that's the case with a lot of people, is that sometimes people hold too much in, and that's not healthy either.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
thing for sure, like, I started doing with myself is, like, because I just started going, like, getting myself back, like, mentally and physically back to the gym with my coach. And, like, one thing that I started doing is recording myself every morning and explaining how I felt today. And just talking about, like, okay, I woke up a little bit drowsy. Like, I literally have a whole long conversation by myself just to get myself going and keep myself on track to tell myself, like, wow, like, I felt bad and shitty yesterday, but today I feel amazing. And one of the main reasons I love coach is because I begin with her every 4 days. After 4 days, she tells me, how are you feeling? Like, how is past? How are you feeling? She doesn't ask you, how are you feeling physically? She asks you, how are you feeling mentally? Mm-hmm. Just being able to track that and talking to her about it and then her reminding me or me looking at my videos, it's like, wow, like, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And that's why I kind of talk about it a little bit, because it's those simple things that can really help us. And a lot of people don't do it because it might seem like maybe like corny or, you know, little kid things, but in all honesty, those are the things that really help us. If you can't mm-hmm. seem to understand yourself or nobody understands you, you're the best person that can help yourself. Nobody can help you better than you can help yourself.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes you need somebody to ask you the question for you to think about it, you know?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Be like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me think about how I'm actually feeling. And then you can respond to it. You don't, you know, just yourself, and then you understand why you're feeling the way you feel.
Exactly. And you know, like, with my college career and everything, with what I'm wanting to become an LCSW, I'm wanting to practice my own therapy and counsel. You know, every counselor has their own, how do you say, like, type of way to help others. And that has to be how I would prefer to help others, is, you know, allowing them to speak freely and asking questions that allow them to answer the questions. Right. Not exactly me giving you advice or me telling you what to do, but me asking you a question and you having to, or the person having to, you know, kind of realize, like, what would I do? Or ask themselves, you know, the only answers that a therapist could give you is something that has already rooted inside of you, something that would come out from your mind, you know?
Exactly. Right.
So, like, a reflection process, like, reflect on it.
Yeah. And I believe that it's called cognitive behavioral therapy. I don't have a lot of research done on it just yet because I'm still in that undergrad part, but once I finish up, I'll be able to kind of look more into it and really practice on that sort. But that's kind of my way of handling situations when people, you know, ask me for advice or come to me for issues that they're having. It's kind of like, instead of giving somebody opinions or, you know, telling them what to do, it's more like, let them speak and let them have their voice, you know, let them choose how they want to recover from what they're going through.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, do you guys have any questions for me?
Honestly, I think you've already answered my questions, because, like, I kind of, like, brought them up and you actually really answered them. Like, did you have any questions for Cynthia, Craig?
I don't think so. Not really. I mean, I think it was a great coverage, and maybe we could even go into more depth on certain subjects in the future.
Yeah, it was. I definitely would love to, honestly.
And yeah, like, go ahead. Sorry. So, like, one thing that I did kind of want to add is, like, for all those people out there who, like Cynthia did have a good point of, like, people say exercising or meditation or even anything physical isn't for them. Like, I also, like, want to add in there, like, you can also do any kinds of arts and crafts helps people with their stress, you know? Like, for example, for me, like, I started getting into, like, finger knitting, like, me just being able to knit something, and, like, I'm like, wow, like, I did that, you know, like, it gives you, like, happiness, you know, to be like, wow, I made that blanket, you know, just things like that, just simple things like that help people with anxiety or with stress, you know.
Of course, yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, something so simple, like me when I'm super stressed, sometimes I just like to clean my house. And if my house is clean, it makes me feel better, you know?
Exactly.
Yes, I also, oh goodness, yes, good thing you brought that up. I was definitely going to point that out. When I'm stressed, when I'm anxious, when I feel like I'm having the worst day ever, sometimes it's a good way to take out stress is to clean. A lot of people, and I've seen it on, if you guys have TikToks, you've seen that clean TikTok. I started learning how to clean in different ways, but it definitely releases a lot of stress. When you see your home clean, it makes you feel kind of like you have control of your life. You have control of your environment, and it makes you feel better. It's not necessarily because, oh, you know, on this table. It's not necessarily because of that, but because you have control over your environment. And that's what kind of helps release that stress, is knowing that you can do something to control yourself and control your emotions and release your stress.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you would like to say, Cynthia?
There's just one more thing, for anybody that would be listening. I do want to put in here the National Mental Health and Suicide Crisis Hotline. There is English and Spanish. The English number is 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. And there's also a Spanish line. That's going to be 1-888-628-9454. That's 1-888-628-9454. And if texting is preferred too, you can text HOME to 741-741. And if you ever need to talk to anybody, somebody's always willing to talk to you and reach out to you. And this is national, so anywhere you are, anywhere you could be, any environment you could be in, if you need help, just call or text these numbers.
Well, yes. Awesome. Thank you so much, Cynthia.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
And we will definitely try to add in those numbers, too, in the podcast description if we're able to. And if you guys want to, you guys can always find Cynthia on Instagram. And then on our Instagram handle, we'll definitely add in those lines as well. Cynthia, do you want to give out your Instagram handle where they can find you?
Yes, of course. I will go ahead and do that. Let me get that for you. Sorry. Let's see. It would be CYN, and then it's underscore. Sorry. It's CYN, sorry, not or dot psych, and that's PSYCH dot love. And that's my Instagram handle. I also have my actual blog. That's a different website. It's Sin Psych Love. That's all one word. SinPsychologyLove.blogspot.com.
Thank you so much, Cynthia, for joining us today and for giving us this amazing interview and for getting in depth about how important mental health is for people, really.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me. And in honor of this month, May, Mental Health Awareness, I'm so glad you guys invited me and, you know, to make this issue heard.
Yes. Thanks so much, Cynthia. We hope to have you on future episodes as well.
Thank you guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you guys.
Well, that was so much fun. She was so great to talk to.
I know, that was an amazing subject. I love that she was able to connect every little thing and just be able to touch bases on how to cope with stress and how everything connects with mental illness. And it was really nice to have our very first guest speaker, Cynthia, with us today.
Yes, it was great. So we're going to end our podcast with a game, of course. So we're going to see how this game goes, okay? So let me explain it to you.
Okay.
So basically, the point of this game is we're going to make a chain of words on a given topic. So the first player is going to name a word. So you'll be the first player. How about that?
Yeah.
So you're going to name a word on a given topic, and the second player names a word which the first letter matches the last letter of the word named by the first player. And you only have a couple of seconds to come up with your word. So what should our topic be?
Okay. Maybe let's do, like, something simple. Like, I don't know, like...
Like food?
Like food, yeah.
Okay. So your last letter of your word is the first letter of my word.
Okay.
I'm scared.
I think I got this, but I'm kind of confused already, but I'm dyslexic. So we just kind of have to roll with it, okay?
Okay. Okay, let's do it.
Okay. So any type of food. Okay, so pizza.
Apple.
Elote.
Oh, gosh. Why can't I think of another A?
Elote is... Wait, is elote with an E? Elote is with an E.
Oh, it's with an E?
Yeah.
Okay, why can't... Okay, so E. I'm gonna lose already. Watch. Eggplant.
Okay. God. Tootsie Roll.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so L, lime.
Oh my gosh, these are so hard. Ezekiel bread.
Okay, so D is the last?
Yeah.
D? Dynamites.
So E again?
No, an S. Dynamite.
Oh, S. Okay. Strawberry. S then? Oh, God. Why can't I...
No, there's M.
A... Yam?
Yeah.
Oh, mole.
Don't give me... Egg.
No, blah, blah. God, I can't think of a word. What is another word? Okay, starts with a G. Grapes. Dude. Okay, grapes.
Okay, now an S. Sourdough bread.
So D?
Yeah.
Drapes. No, wait, drapes is a subject.
I'm like, what? Subject. D is hard.
D is hard. How about, let's see. What's a fruit that starts with a D?
I have it. Dragon fruit.
No, you already said dragon fruit.
I did?
Yeah, I swear you did.
Oh, I don't. Okay, maybe. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because I said Ezekiel bread, and then you're like dragon fruit.
Oh.
Somebody should keep track of this.
Okay. Ooh,
Duvalin. That's a candy. Duvalin, my mom says.
Okay.
So it's an N.
Nuts.
So an S. What's a fruit that starts with an S? S. Soup.
Oh, okay, that's a good one. P. Pomegranate. Oh no, I'm not gonna say. I need to stop with the E's at the end.
The E's are hard.
Yeah, the E's are way too hard. So P. Popcorn.
Corn. So an N.
Mm-hmm.
Nuggets.
Nuggets. That's a good one. See, food is such a big variety, but we're not thinking of the right words.
I think it's because of the same subject that we just had with Cynthia. Stress.
Yeah, stress.
You can't think right when you're, like, under stress.
Right? Okay, that's so funny. S. S. sour gummy worms.
That's a good one. So, sour gummy worms with an S now?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sunday.
Sunday?
Yeah, like a Sunday, you know, like banana Sunday.
Oh, I'm like, Sunday? We're not talking about days of the week. Okay, Sunday. So that ends with an E, though, doesn't it?
Oh, wait, just kidding. Let's not do that one.
Here, no, I'll get one. I'll make one off.
You'll make one of them.
E. What the heck is another E food?
Is it cheating if I Google it?
Probably, but let's, because now I'm curious. Like, what is an E food?
I know, right?
So, foods?
Enchiladas.
Oh, that's a good one. How come I haven't thought of that?
Right? Dude, I feel like you should have gotten that.
Okay, so, oh, English muffin. I'm going to go with English muffin. That okay. way you have an N.
English muffin. An N? Nachos.
Nachos. Okay, so that leaves me with an S.
Yeah.
Salad.
So that leaves me with a D. Dang, what's a...
We keep ending up with the same endings.
Huh?
We keep having, like, E's and D's.
I think they're hard. A Danish!
Oh, a Danish. That's a good one. Okay, so Danish. So H?
H.
Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket. Okay, so that leaves me with a T. Tangerine.
And then that- you give me an E. Egg roll. Because I'm still cheating.
Okay. That leaves me with an L, right? Lobster.
Okay, that leaves me with an R.
Yeah.
R. Radish.
That leaves me with an H?
Uh-huh.
H. Ham.
Ham. Muffin.
Muffin. That leaves me with an N. Nepalis.
Oh my gosh.
Is that, that's with an L, right?
Huh?
That starts with an, that ends with an S.
With an S. Oh, sushi. That, how come we haven't said that one?
Dude, I know, right?
What the heck?
That's dumb. Okay, let's see. With an I. Sushi.
Oh, that was kind of a bad one. What starts with an I?
Ice cream.
Oh, that's a good one. Ice cream. Another E, what the heck?
Ice cream is with an M, girl.
Oh, yeah, not ice, sorry. M. What the heck? What starts with an M? Macaroni. Oh, that gives, let's do, no. I guess just macaroni, because then I'd give you an E.
So that's an E?
No, I.
I?
Yeah, because I was going to change it to macaroni and cheese, but.
Oh, but that, but there's like, I can't think of a food. Either way, I'm screwed. I don't can't think of a food that starts with an I.
Ice.
Oh, ice. That's not really food, dude. That's like ice. It's water. Well, I guess that's food.
Like slushies and stuff. Okay. You one more and me one more.
Okay.
Or do you want to switch to another topic really quick?
Yeah, let's change to
okay, you pick the topic.
I already picked the topic.
Okay, let's do things in the clinic.
Oh, shit.
Okay. It's going to be not that hard.
It's going to be hard. We can't even think of food.
Okay, start with a word.
Okay. Sharps.
So S?
Mm-hmm.
Stethoscope.
So E?
Yeah. This one is
ear lavage.
Yes, I was like, if you don't get that one,
I was thinking of how I said it. I was like, how does it start with again?
Oh, okay. So that leaves me with an E. Crap. E. Why are E's so hard?
I don't know.
Everything ends with an E, huh?
Yeah.
E. What the heck?
Dude, that one's hard.
That is hard when they end with an E. Because I'm trying to think. But everything has, like, an E in it.
I know, just that's like... beginning. I don't think there's, like... Honestly, I don't think there's, like, anything...
else that starts with an E.
Maybe, like, eardrops?
Eardrops, yeah. Okay, so we'll go with that. Eardrops.
So, S?
Yeah.
Sutures.
Sutures. So, that gives me an S.
Yeah.
I want to come up with, like, something good.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm just going to go with Sharps container.
Okay, so that leaves me with an R. Rocephin.
Don't leave me with an E.
Rocephin was is with an N.
Right.
Oh, my are gosh. You okay?
I'm really not. I'm so tired today. An N.
I'm looking around needle. My room like if I'm in the clinic.
I know, huh?
A needle. So you leave me with an E. Thanks. Okay.
Oh, okay. Needles.
No. Needles. Okay. With an S. I want to say like solution.
You can do solution.
Solution, yeah, because we have like, you know, the solution, just natural solution.
Yeah. Okay, so that leaves me with an N. This is hard.
No. What's that one nitro that freezing stuff that we use?
Oh,
no,
that's fine. Liquid.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's liquid nitrogen. We can okay, still do nitrogen, no?
Nitrogen, because we have nitrogen in the clinic.
Yeah, nitrogen.
So that leaves me with
N as well. What else okay. starts with an N?
This like, is the I'm last thinking, one.
What the heck? I can N. think of everything but the letters we need.
Okay, N. I can think of this. I got this. Neosporin.
Oh, ooh. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's good job. That's the finale mic drop. Yeah,
the grand finale.
All right. Well, this is how we're going to end the podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. And like I said, hopefully we'll be able to leave those hotlines in this podcast description. But yeah, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, we're going to leave our Instagram, her, and please send us any messages or anything if you guys want to hear something specific. We would love to hear your guys' input. So
yes, of course. And then we are recording this on May 12th, which is not May 12th. We are recording this on May 9th. So this is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of the wonderful mother out there.
Yes, happy Mother's Day. Have a good week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.